coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we read as follows. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you. Possibly the apostle is reminding Timothy of his ordination vow. On that occasion, Timothy promised to carry out faithfully the duties of the ministry. Now Paul is commanding Timothy to fulfill his duties. As an apostle, Paul is in the position of charging Timothy in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. These are powerful statements. Paul has spoken the charge, but Christ will judge Timothy's faithfulness on the last day, when he will appear and fully reveal the kingdom he established by his suffering and death. At the present moment, Timothy is working in this kingdom of Christ as a pastor. What is Timothy expected to do as a minister of Christ? What are pastors expected to do today in the office of the holy ministry? Paul answers, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. These words summarize the duty and responsibility of every pastor. Preach the word of God. This refers not only delivering sermons, but includes all situations in which the Word of God is to be proclaimed and shared. The Word of God is also included in the sacraments of Holy Baptism and Holy Communion. So, baptizing and ministering Holy Communion are part of the preaching and consequently are part of the duties of a pastor. Preaching the Word of God equally includes admonishing the erring and forgiving those who repent and believe in Jesus. In addition, preaching the Word of God encompasses the visitation of the ill, the bereaved, the lonely, and the elderly. Preaching the Word of God comprises writing and publishing messages in newspapers, magazines, and social media, preparing and broadcasting messages on radio and television. You see, preaching the Word of God covers a wide range of tasks and the exploration of all opportunities. To the preaching of the Word, the Apostle Paul adds, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, a pastor shall be prepared for the duties of the ministry at all times, at any moment when there is a need or an opportunity. The idea behind the expression, be ready, is urgency, preparedness, and readiness like a soldier must be prepared to go into battle or a guard who must continually be alert for any surprise attack. It is the pastor's task to reprove, to persuade by showing evidence from scriptures. Reproving has to do with correcting behavior or false doctrine by using careful biblical argument to help a person understand the error of his actions. It is the pastor's duty to rebuke, to speak God's condemning law to the erring so that the person might acknowledge his sin. It is the pastor's duty to exhort, to comfort the repentant sinner with the gospel of forgiveness. These duties the pastor shall carry out with complete patience, being understanding with the people, giving them time to reflect, and being persistent. What is the pastor's tool to fulfill his pastoral tasks? The tool is teaching, the doctrine. Or put in another way, the teachings of scriptures are the pastor's tool. Paul continues to address Timothy, writing in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The prospect for Timothy's work was not very promising. Paul declares that time of difficulty stand ahead when people will not endure sound teaching. Paul is saying that in the dangerous seasons of this age, many people will become intolerant of the preaching of the pure and sound gospel. People will prefer to listen to other things, as the apostle says, having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Itching ears have an eager desire for scratching, to hear something new and entertaining, announced by teachers who satisfy their wishes. Under those conditions, people dictate what men shall preach, rather God determining the content of preaching by His Word. Once people run after new and entertaining messages offered by teachers tailored according to their desires, the truth of the gospel is rejected and myths take the place of the gospel. False ideologies, viewpoints, and philosophies oppose sound doctrine and unfortunately are attractive to people. Timothy, however, should keep the distance from all this. Paul says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy and every pastor today must be aware of what is being proclaimed and what people like to listen with itching ears. Ministers of Christ shall focus on the task at hand. This very likely involves enduring suffering because of opposition, persecution, or simply disappointment. Paul commands specifically Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Literally, that means to proclaim good news. The word evangelist is used only twice in scriptures and always refers to the specific purpose of preaching the gospel to non-Christians. The work of an evangelist aims to announce Jesus Christ to people so that the Holy Spirit might bring them to faith in the Savior. Then Paul says to Timothy, fulfill your ministry, that is, do what you have been called to do as a pastor, faithfully pursuing the tasks of the pastoral office. In the sequence of the letter, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So far, Paul has instructed, warned, and exhorted extensively Timothy. Now Paul speaks about himself. He is imprisoned in Rome. He senses that his life is nearing the end. Paul looks back without regret or remorse, examining his life from three perspectives. 1. The present reality of the end of his life, for which he was ready. 2. The past, when he had been faithful. And 3. The future, as he anticipated his heavenly reward. Considering his present condition, Paul says that he is already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of his departure has come. This is an allusion to the Old Testament sacrificial system. The drink offering was the final offering that followed the burn and grain offerings prescribed for the people of Israel. Paul saw his coming death as his final offering to God in a life that had already been full of sacrifices to God. "My departure has come," says Paul. He realized that he would depart from this present world to the life to come in heaven. Paul also looks back into his past when he states, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." The form of the three Greek verbs, "have fought," "have finished," and "have kept," indicates completed action with continuing results. Paul saw his life as complete. He had been able to accomplish through the Lord's power all that God called him to do. He had fought successfully like a soldier. He had run the race like an athlete. And as a guardian, he had kept the faith. I wish one day I could make an assessment of my past in similar fashion as Paul did. I wish you could do the same. We have to confess that our past is stained by all sorts of transgressions. We have erred in so many ways against God's holy commandments. We have offended Him. On the other hand, by faith in Jesus, our past has been cleared. Our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. Consequently, we can gaze into the eternal future with joy and confidence as Paul did. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." The word crown brings with itself the meaning of plaited wreaths or garlands placed on the heads of dignitaries and victorious military officers and athletes. Paul is sure that the imperishable crown of eternal life has been prepared for him by Jesus, and it will be given to him by the Lord on the last day, the day when Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. But Paul is not only thinking of himself. He says that the crown of eternal life will be awarded to all who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, we can look into our eternal future with joy and hope. A brilliant future has been prepared for us, a future of victory over all evil and adversities, a future of glory in the company of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is about to conclude his letter. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 15. "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message." Being in prison in Rome, Paul longed for the company of a trustworthy friend. Therefore, he asks Timothy to come to Rome soon. Time is a vital factor, particularly when someone is in danger or need. Paul longed to see his beloved co-worker, but it was imperative that Timothy made haste because Paul knew his life was coming to the end. Paul describes his condition of loneliness and abandonment in prison. Demas, who had been one of Paul's closest associates, abandoned the apostle because he may have left the faith entirely, or perhaps he was overcome by fear of imprisonment. So Demas left Rome and went to Thessalonica. Another friend by name Crescens went to Galatia, perhaps to preach the gospel there. Also Titus, Paul's closest friend and co-worker next to Timothy, went to Dalmatia, modern Albania and Yugoslavia, to announce there the word of God. Luke was the only friend who stayed with Paul. This description gives us an idea of Paul's intense desire for company. So he asks Timothy to come immediately, and he should also bring along Mark. This might have been John Mark, who traveled with Paul earlier on mission outreach. Paul says that Mark is very useful to him in the ministry. The apostle also notes that he sent Tychicus to Ephesus, probably to take Timothy's responsibilities, so Timothy could travel to see Paul. Timothy received a special request from Paul that he should bring the cloak that Paul had left with Carpus at Troas, so also the books and above all the parchments. Prisoners in ancient times depended upon the provisions given to them by their family and friends rather than on the generosity of the jailers. Paul possessed a heavy wool garment that doubled as a coat and blanket in cold weather. He had left it with his friend Carpus at Troas. Besides the cloak, Timothy should bring the books, literally the scrolls made of papyrus, possibly Old Testament writings. Paul also asks Timothy to bring the parchments made of animal skins. They were extremely expensive. The parchments probably contained copies of letters that Paul had written, or the parchments may have been blank sheets for writing other letters. Then follows a sad note when Paul says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm." Alexander may have been an idol maker who opposed Paul's teaching and likely spread his own false doctrine. Alexander may have been instrumental in Paul's arrest and may even have borne false witness against the apostle. Paul did not have any desire for vengeance. "The Lord will repay Alexander according to his deeds," says the apostle. Paul warns Timothy to beware of Alexander because he was a man who strongly opposed the gospel. Paul continues to describe his plight in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Who of us would feel confident facing a tribunal without a lawyer to speak for us and to defend our cause? Paul stood on his own when legal proceeding was underway that led him to the present imprisonment. There was no one to defend him because all had abandoned him. However, Paul does not wish evil to the former friends who left him. On the contrary, he expresses forgiveness. although Paul could not count on people to defend him, he could count on the Lord, who stood by him and strengthened him. Even though all abandoned Paul, he remained confident in Christ's abiding presence. In adverse condition, the apostle had the opportunity to proclaim the message of Christ before a Roman tribunal. The gospel reached the Gentiles. Paul says that he was rescued from the lion's mouth, that is, in deadly peril, the Lord took care of him. On the basis of the Lord's present work, strengthening Paul and standing with him, Paul had hope for the Lord's future work. He knew God would deliver him from all temptations and plots against him. He also knew that the completion of his salvation was nearer than when he first believed. We who believe in Jesus can join the apostle and confess, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." Whether in life or death, Paul continues to praise the name of the Lord. Paul concludes his second letter to Timothy with greetings which are registered in chapter 4, verses 19 to 22. Greet Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, in Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Prisca and Aquila were Paul's faithful friends, now living and ministering in Ephesus. Onesiphorus was one of Paul's loyal co-workers who had not deserted him, but befriended him in prison and ministered to his needs. Paul sends greetings to Onesiphorus and his family, who now were in Ephesus. The apostle also mentions Erastus, the former city treasurer of Corinth. The name Trophimus is mentioned. He was a native from Ephesus who had accompanied Paul from Greece to Troas. Now he was ill at Miletus, a city about 30 miles from Ephesus. Along with Paul, all believers sent greetings from Rome to the church at Ephesus. The following names are mentioned: Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, and Claudia. Once more, Paul urges Timothy to come to see him in Rome. Do your best to come before winter, Paul stresses. In those days, traveling was impossible during the winter months. Considering also the cold Roman jail cell in which Paul was confined, he needed the cloak for warmth. He would also have the opportunity to use the books and parchments as the duration of light grew shorter in winter. In spite of many adversities, God used the Apostle Paul to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to many people. This gospel has reached us, so that we believe in Jesus and rejoice in our salvation. At the same time, we are summoned to testify to Jesus and support the work of the Church to bring Christ to the nations. There are no better words to conclude the studies on the second letter of Paul to Timothy than the words of the apostle himself. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.